name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, so good to see all of you in the house of the Lord. Yes, surely we must all be very, very thankful to the Lord for His kindness and towards us in seeing us through the year 2011, and now we are in the year 2012. And we have already gone into 1.5 months of the year, if you are not conscious of the passage of time. And I like to remind you, I like to remind myself always that time passes so quickly. And before we know it, the year is out. And before we know it, the light of our life will have been switched off. We'll be gone from this earth. And then the day will come when we will have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we shall have to give an account of what we did for Him. And on that day, when we stand before Him, what are we going to say to Him? Yes, what are we going to say to Him? What kind of account will we be bringing before the Lord? Will we be able to give a very, very good account of what we did for Him and hear Him say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? Or will we be hearing this terrible rebuke from Him and then feel very, very sorry that day that we had not done well for Him while we had the opportunities to do so? So I urge you, my dear friends, think of the fast passage of time. And soon, yes, soon, the day of the Lord might just come upon us. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, and that's my topic this morning. Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Now, years ago, I told you before, my wife and I own a dog. Now, every time we left town for a few days, we had to board our dog in a boarding kennel. We didn't like to board her in the boarding kennel because we saw how dogs were treated in the boarding kennel. They were either caged up or they were allowed to run free in the compound. And the problem was the dogs would become very, very dirty running in the compound. And then very often their fur would be all clumped up. And we didn't like that, of course, and I don't think any dog owner would like that. But what choice did we have? We didn't have a choice. Every time we left town, we had to bring the dog to the kennel. But then every time we got the dog back from the kennel, we had a whole host of problems. And one time when we got our dog back, she was half dead, literally half dead. We had to almost carry her into the car. You see, because she was bathed at noontime and she was left to deep dry in the heat of the noon sun. So when we got her back, she was really very, very sick. Now, the employees at the kennel might be good dog handlers, but then they are not owners. Yes, there, of course, was a big difference between them and between my wife and myself. We were the owners. Yes, but of course, dog handlers were not. They were hirelings hired to look after dogs. To them, a dog is a dog. Makes no difference whether the dog is a very intelligent, beautiful, handsome dog. It makes no difference to them. A dog is just a dog. But friends, we were different. We owned a dog. We loved our dog. We took good care of our dog. We fed our dog. And we were very, very closely attached to our dog. And when our dog felt pain, of course we felt pain for our dog. So this is the difference between hirelings and owners. Now in the passage that we have just read, the Lord Jesus Christ says this of Himself. He says, "I am not a hireling. I am the good shepherd." I'm not the hireling. I'm the good shepherd. And this morning, I'd like to talk about this good shepherd. First, why is He the good shepherd? Number two, what is the relationship between the good shepherd and his sheep? And number three, the liberty and the power of this good shepherd. Now, why is He the good shepherd? Look at verse 11 of John chapter 10. John 10, 11. Please look at that verse. John 10, 11. Members of the church, please help our friends to refer to the Bible. John 10, 11. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." That's why he's the good shepherd. He gave his life for the sheep. Now the 23rd Psalm, the hymn that we have just sung is based on the 23rd Psalm. The 23rd Psalm is often known as the Shepherd Psalm. Now, this psalm or this song was written by the great King David. Now, this psalm describes the relationship between a shepherd, a good shepherd, and his sheep. Now, David in this psalm sees himself not as a shepherd, but he sees himself as a sheep. Now, David ought to know what a good shepherd was because he was a shepherd when he was a young man. And he was a good shepherd. Yes, and he was a good shepherd. And he was a very, very sacrificial shepherd. One time, when one of his sheep was taken away by a bear and a lion, what did he do? He went after them. He risked his life and he killed the lion and the bear. Yes, he risked his life. Now, why did he risk his life? To save his sheep. Because he was a good shepherd. Now, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the greater David. Not just David, but the greater David. He not only risked his life, but he actually gave his life for his sheep. On the cross of Calvary, he shed his precious blood. He shed his precious blood for his sheep. How different the hireling was compared to him. So we read in verses 12 and 13 in John chapter 10. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. Now, about whom was the Lord Jesus Christ talking when he talked about the hireling? Now, he was actually talking about the scribes and the Pharisees and the spiritual leaders, the religious leaders of his day. They didn't care for the sheep that they were supposed to be taking care of. They were only concerned about themselves. They wanted people to see how good and how religious they were. And so the scribes and the Pharisees in those days were very, very fond of standing in very prominent places. Not just some small, insignificant street corners, but in very, very prominent street corners, and they would pray in public, and they would like people to see that they were very religious, and they liked people to see that they were very good. Yes. And then when they fasted, they wanted everybody to know that they fasted. And so possibly they could have put on very, very sad and depressed look to tell people, see, I have fasted, I've prayed and I fasted. But they were really very hypocritical, very fault-finding, and they were very fast in condemning. Now, they were supposed to be shepherds, but friends, they behaved like hirelings. They didn't have any love for the sheep. Now, do we see modern hirelings in the church? Yes, do we see them? Of course we do today. Who are they? Who are the hirelings in the church today? Well, they are the professional pastors, professional teachers, professional preachers. They are not interested in the salvation of the souls of members in the church, not interested in building up the faith of the people in the church. They are more concerned about themselves. To them, the position of a pastor, the position of a preacher, or the position of a teacher in the church is just a job. A job, that's all. A job on which they work to earn a salary. And some are only interested in preaching in big churches because big churches pay bigger salary. That's the reason. And then also they love to preach in big churches because big churches bring about bigger reputation. But friends, they have no love for the sheep. They don't see themselves as the under-shepherds of the good shepherd, even our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Then, many leaders in the church miss the whole point in regards to their service. They forget that Christ came to serve instead of being served. So what do they do in the church? They try to exert their influence, they try to exert their power, and then they will bring their secular ideas, secular ways of management into the church, to run the church. Yes? And I also have seen in some churches, leaders going around, running down the good work done by other pastors. They did not care. At least I saw this before. They did not care if in the process of doing so, they would cause damage to the church. They did not care if they caused division in the church or caused confusion in the church. Yes, they didn't care. They didn't care. Why didn't they care? They didn't care because they had no love for the sheep, no concern for the members of the church. They behaved like hirelings. They cared only for themselves. Then there are those who are very concerned about the position that they hold in the church. And I'm talking about leaders, not just about pastors. They could be elders, they could be deacons. They could be very, very afraid, or they are very, very afraid of losing their popularity in the church. So they try to avoid saying or doing things that could appear to be unpopular, even if those unpopular things are right. No love for the sheep. That's the reason. So they want to say the nice things, they want to do the nice things, so that people, good things, so that they don't want to offend people. They want to say things that people love to hear. So they don't care to rebuke, they don't care to admonish, and they don't care to reprove. But friends, these are not true shepherds. They are hirelings, they are hirelings. Now, of course, they don't receive a salary in the church because they are voluntary workers in the church. But then they are hirelings in mentality because they do not care for the sheep. They have no love for the sheep. They don't feel that they own the sheep. They are only interested in themselves. They want to be popular in the church. All of us who have been called to be leaders in the church, particularly myself, must see ourselves as under-shepherds of this great and wonderful loving shepherd, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We must care for the sheep. We must protect them. We must protect them against sin. We must protect them against the world. We must protect them against false teachings. We must be willing to make sacrifices for them. We must be ready to serve as the Master did, who came to serve and not to be served. We must encourage, of course, as leaders, we must encourage people to grow. But at the same time, my dear friends, we must not be fearful to rebuke, to reprove, to admonish when it is necessary for us to do so. Never let us fear that in the course of doing so, we might offend people, and then we, as a result of which, we lose our popularity. My dear friends, if we truly love our sheep, we must be very, very concerned for them. We must be very, very protective over them. Next, I'd like us to see the relationship between the shepherd and his sheep. Now, look at the relationship between the shepherd and his sheep, verses 14 to 16. The Lord Jesus Christ says, "I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for my sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." He says, "I know my sheep." Now what does he know about the sheep? My dear friends, this good shepherd knows everything and everything and everything about the sheep. He knows everything about them. Now think for a moment how knowing this great and wonderful shepherd is, the one true living God. Now think of this little bird called the guillemot. Now the guillemot is an Arctic seabird, a very small bird. And this little bird lives on the rocky cliffs of the coast of North America. Now these birds flock together by the thousands, and they flock together by the thousands in very, very small areas. Now, because of the crowded condition of these birds, the mother birds will lay their birds in a row on a narrow ledge on the side of the cliff. And that's what the mother birds will do. And, of course, the birds look alike, right? One egg looks like another egg. But you know something? The mother bird knows exactly which eggs are hers. So she knows where her nest is, and she knows exactly which eggs are hers. And even if you try to take one egg away from her nest and put it somewhere else, she knows that that is her egg, and she knows how to bring it back to her own nest. That's how smart, how knowing this little bird is. Now ask ourselves, who put that little bird brain into the bird to cause the bird to know which eggs her eggs are. Who puts that little brain to the bird to cause the bird to be so knowing? Of course, the Creator, the one true living God. Now, if His creature is so knowing, how about Him, my dear friends? Of course, He's all-knowing. Yes, He's all-knowing. He knows our every thought. He knows our every emotion. He knows our every problem. You think He doesn't know? He knows. He knows our trials. He knows our temptations. He knows our tribulations. He knows our weaknesses. He knows exactly what we are in need of. My dear friends, let us never fear. He knows everything and everything about us. How privileged, my dear friends, it is to be known in this personal and intimate manner by this one true living God, this great and good shepherd of ours. Now, you young people, surely you will count it a great, great honor and privilege to be known by your principal. Isn't it true? In a school of a few hundred children, and your principal knows you. He doesn't need to know a lot about you, but if he knows your name, you say, wow, my principal knows me. My principal knows my name. You feel very, very privileged. Or let's say if you were working in a big company in which there are thousands of employees, and then the big boss of the company knows your name. He doesn't need to know much about you. He just knows your name. Already you feel very honored and very, very privileged. Now friends, think of it. If you are a sheep of our Savior, the one true living God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, He knows you. He knows you not only in a very general way. He knows you personally. He knows you intimately. He knows everything about you. What a great honor and great privilege it is to be known by the great and good shepherd in this manner. Then look at the way He knows us. It is not a case of His knowing us and then He doesn't have any concern for us. No, friends. He knows us. And He shows us His very special favors. You see, He chose us even from before the foundation of the world. From eternity past. Did you know that if you are His sheep, He had already chosen you to be His sheep? And then there was the day when He went to the cross of Calvary to die. Yes, He died for you. He died for me. He died so that He may redeem us from all iniquities and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, a very, very special people. If we belong to Him, friends, we are a very, very special people to whom He will show His very special providential care. Isn't it wonderful, my dear friends, to be known by the one true living God, this good shepherd, in this very, very special way? And He shows us His providential care. How? My dear friends, particularly by interceding for us. Day and night before God's wonderful throne of grace, He prays for us every day so that we might be kept in the most holy faith. Remember, there was a day when the Lord Jesus Christ said this to Peter. He knew that Peter was going to deny Him. And so the Lord said this to Peter. Peter, and said this to him. Simon, Simon. Simon is Peter. Simon, Simon. Behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I pray for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Satan has desired to shake you, to harass you, to toss you to and fro. But Peter, I prayed for you, so that your faith will not fail, so your faith will hold, will not fail. Friends, as He prayed for Peter, the Lord prays for us. He prays for us today, alright? Not just one time, but He prays for us every day. And the Word of God tells us in Hebrews 7:25. I think it's such a precious verse, we must turn to it. Alright, please turn with me to Hebrews 7:25. Hebrews 7:25. And so, when you look at this verse, you see that the kind of very special providential care He has for us. Hebrews 7:25. I read for you. Hebrews 7:25. Alright. Very wonderful verse. Maybe we should read this together. It's so wonderful. Let's read it. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. My dear friends, he ever liveth. You know what that means? He ever liveth means he lives forever. He lives forever to what? To make intercession for them. He makes intercession for us. He prays for us. Yes, he prays for us so that we may be kept in the most holy faith. That is the kind of very special providential care that he has for us. Don't you feel very privileged that we have such a wonderful Savior, such a wonderful God who cares for us in such an intimate way? Now, what's the worst scenario? Now, the worst scenario would be this. We think that the Lord knows us. We think we are his sheep. But then on the day of reckoning, when we come before God, you know, God says this to us, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. How sad it will be, my dear friends, if all our life we imagine that we were believers. Then on the day of reckoning, we stand before the one true living God to hear this say to us, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So friends, I urge you and I plead with you. Be sure. Be sure that you are really his sheep. Be sure that you are really his sheep. And how can we be sure that we are his sheep? My dear friends, we know that we are indeed his if we see Jesus dying on the cross for us. Not just for anyone, but for me personally. He died for me on the cross of Calvary. For me. He was buried for me. He rose up from the dead for me. Not just for anyone, but for me. My dear friends, if you have this personal relationship with him, and you truly have repented from your sins, then you are truly his sheep. Then one day when you stand before him, he's going to welcome you. He's not going to say to you, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. No, that will never happen. Now the Lord also says this of his relationship with his sheep. Look at verse 14. He says, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. Now his sheep know him too. They know him intimately. They know him as their friend. The Lord, while he was ministering on this earth, fellowship with sinners, with publicans. Publicans were tax collectors in those days. They were actually, many of them were Jews, and they were working for the Roman government to tax the people. And of course, they were very unpopular. Many of them were corrupted, and they were regarded as the scums of society in those days. Yes, but Jesus ate with sinners, and he ate with publicans. He was their friend. And the scribes and the Pharisees could not believe that he was their Messiah, because in their mind, the Messiah would be too pure to eat with sinners and with publicans. No, Jesus could not be the Messiah. But that was what the Lord Jesus Christ came for. He came to seek sinners. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Yes. Friends, we can own him as our friend. We can. Because he's a friend to sinners, you see? So we can own him as our friend. And who are we? We are nothing but sinners. Wretched sinners saved by his grace. And because we are sinners saved by his grace, we can own him as our friend. Because he came to seek and to save that which was lost. In what other ways do his sheep know him? They know him to be able and faithful. We said that many, many times from this pulpit. Our God is both able and faithful. So his sheep look into the word of God, and they see that this God of theirs, this great and good shepherd, was very, very faithful to his servants. And they see also that this great and good shepherd was very, very able in the way he dealt with his servants. And they themselves, the sheep themselves, have this wonderful experience. They have proven him. And they can testify that this God of theirs is able and faithful. They think of the trials and the tribulations they experienced in time past, and then they remember how kind, how good, how able this God of theirs was in dealing with them. Yes, they have proved this God, and they can testify to his goodness. In They know him to be the Savior who prays for them every day before God's wonderful throne of grace to keep them and to preserve them from the power of sin. And they know him to be the one who is guiding them by his word. And they know him to be the one who is preserving them every day. They know that he loves them. Do you know that the Lord loves you, my dear friends? Do you know that? He loves us, my dear friends, and he loves us very, very dearly. Think for a moment how much Christ loves us. Yes, who are his sheep? Think of Bethlehem. Now, when you think of Bethlehem, what do you think of straight away? When you think of Bethlehem, my dear friends, do you not see love incarnate? The Son of God taking on human flesh to be born of a virgin in that stable in Bethlehem. It is love incarnate that you should be seeing. Then think of the time when he walked on this earth. What do you see? My dear friends, we see love laboring. He walked on this earth, you trace his steps, you see lots of people coming to the Lord Jesus Christ to hear him and to be healed of him. Did he turn anyone away? His disciples wanted to turn people away, but not the Lord. The Lord said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." And he never turned anyone away. We would see, my dear friends, love laboring. Then you go to Bethany. What do you see? Yes, we see the two brothers and the two sisters and the brother. Of course, the brother had passed away. Mary and Martha. Yes, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus live in Bethany. And what do we see when we go to Bethany? When we go to Bethany, we see love sympathizing. The Lord Jesus Christ sympathizing with these two sisters, Mary and Martha, because their brother had passed away. And then you stand outside the grave of Lazarus. What do you see, my dear friends? You see love weeping. Jesus weeping outside the grave of Lazarus. He wept with those who wept. Then you go to the Garden of Gethsemane. What do you see? You see love sorrowing. The Lord Jesus Christ prayed and he sweated, and the sweat was, as it were, drops of blood. Yes. What do we see? We see love sorrowing. Sorrowing for whom? For himself? No, my dear friends, sorrowing for us. Then on the cross of Calvary, what do you see? You see love suffering. You see love bleeding. You see love dying. Friends, do you not see this deep, wonderful, and precious love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? If we are truly his sheep, we must see this love, the love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now then, this relationship the sheep have with him, the shepherd, is like the relationship between God the Father and God the Son. You look at verse 14, alright, and verse 15. Verse 14, the Lord says, "I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." The relationship between the sheep and the shepherd is patterned after the relationship between God the Son and God the Father. Now the word "as" in verse 15 is not a word that is used to compare the Father's knowledge of the Son and the Son's knowledge of the Father. No, it's not used in that manner. The word "as" there in verse 15 is actually used to compare the relationship between God the Father and his Son and the Good Shepherd and his sheep. It is a comparison between two relationships. Now let's be very clear about that. My dear friends, that's the kind of relationship that we have with our shepherd. The kind of relationship the shepherd has with us. That relationship is patterned after the relationship of God the Father with God the Son. Now, what is that relationship like between God the Father and God the Son? How intimate is that relationship between God the Father and God the Son? To have an idea of that, I'd like us to turn to Proverbs chapter 8, Proverbs 8, 22 to 30. Proverbs 8:22-30. Please turn with me to that passage, please. Members of the church, please help our friends to refer to that passage. Proverbs 22:30. 8:22-30. Now let me read this for you. Verse 22. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning or ever the earth was. Now, the me and the I, the personal pronouns here, are not referring to wisdom. Of course, if you read that passage, they appear to be referring to wisdom. But if you read carefully, the personal pronouns there are actually referring to the wisdom personified, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All right? And look at verse 22 again. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from when? From everlasting. In other words, the Son of God is from everlasting. He never had a beginning, from the beginning or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth, and so forth. Then we come on to verse 30. Alright, verse 30. Then I was by him, as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Friends, that is a kind of intimate relationship between God the Father and God the Son. That is how closely related God the Father is to his Son. Think of it. The relationship between the Good Shepherd and us, his sheep, is likened to that intimate relationship between God the Father and God the Son. Now, the mystery of this relationship is so great, our human mind simply cannot fathom it. But friends, although we can't fathom it, that's all right. The most important thing is, it is true. That's most important. My friends, my question to you this morning is, do you know him? Do you know this great shepherd? Do you know this good shepherd? Do you really know him? Do you have this wonderful relationship with him? You being his sheep and he your shepherd. Do you have this relationship with him? Now how can you say you know him intimately if you do not spend enough hours with him? If you do not read his word enough? How can you say you know him if you do not care to meditate on his word day and night? And what a privilege lost, my dear friends. If he knows us, and we know him, but do not know him well enough, my dear friends, it is a great privilege lost. He wants to shower us with his gifts, his faith, the faith, love, hope, peace, joy. He wants to shower us with all these great gifts, but we don't receive enough of them because we do not know him enough. Now, it is like you're having a friend. You have made an acquaintance of this friend, he is in Singapore, and then one day you decide to go to Singapore. You know him very casually. So you write to him, you say, my dear friend, I'm coming to Singapore. He say, good, welcome. He say, but unfortunately, when you come, I'm going to be 2 weeks away from Singapore. But my apartment is empty. You can come and help yourself with everything and anything you like in the apartment. So you take up the offer by this friend, although he's a very casual friend. So you arrive at Singapore, you take the key, you go into the apartment. Wow, what a beautiful apartment he has. All right, he's a bachelor's, beautiful apartment. Then you open up the fridge. Wow, so many good things in the fridge. Fruits, and then you open up the larder. Well, lots of food. But he says, I better not touch them. I don't know him enough. I just got to know him. And then 2 weeks later, your friend comes back from his trip and back to Singapore. He opens up the fridge. Hey, why didn't you touch these things? Why didn't you eat these things? He said, you don't know what to say. The truth is, you didn't know him enough, or you do not know him enough. That's why you dare not touch those things. But friends, it's like us. If we do not know our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, well enough, we do not know this shepherd well enough, we do not know the abundance of gifts that he has for us. And he has abundance of them for us, ready to give us to us, and they will be ours if we know him well enough. In verse 16, he talks about other sheep which are not of this fold, and so we read, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Now who are the other sheep? My dear friends, we Gentiles are the other sheep. We Gentile believers are the other sheep. And the sheep that are already in the fold are the Jewish believers. The shepherd here talks as if he already owns all the sheep, both in the fold and in the other fold, meaning the Gentile believers. Now it is true, my dear friends, he owned the sheep even from eternity past. Even from before the foundation of the world, he had already chosen you, chosen me, chosen the Jewish believers, chosen every one of us. So we actually belong to him. And it is true, my dear friends, we really belong to him. And the other thing is that the Lord tells us that these two folds will become one fold. The two groups of sheep will enter into one fold. And we read this in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to 14. I'd like us to turn to this passage. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to 14. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to 14. And again, we will see the great privileges that we have being his sheep. Ephesians 2, 11 to 14. 11 to 14. Let me read this for you. Wherefore, remember, the you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. In other words, in time past, Gentiles were referred to by the Jews as the uncircumcision. The Jews themselves, of course, would belong to the circumcision. The circumcision will refer to those who were uncircumcised as the uncircumcision. So we were the uncircumcision. Verse 12, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, meaning to say we were not citizens of the commonwealth of Israel. We didn't belong to the kingdom of God. And strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Previously we were separated. Jews were Jews, Gentiles were Gentiles. But now we belong to the same fold. Gentile believers and Jewish believers belong to the same fold. The middle wall of partition has been broken down by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what it means. So all of us belong to the same fold. Now consider the privileges we who are termed other sheep are now enjoying. Now we are the other sheep, don't forget. Think of the privileges that we are enjoying now. Before we were his sheep, we didn't have Jesus Christ. We were aliens of the church of Christ. And we were strangers from the covenants of promise. We were foreign to all the promises that God made in regards to this Messiah and the promise of everlasting life offered by him. We were strangers to all these promises. These promises were made to whom? To the Jews, not to us. But now we are believers, these promises are also ours. We have no hope, no God, which means that if we were to pass away at that time before we became his sheep, we would have gone straight to hell. But now we are brought near, brought nigh. By whom? By Jesus, by his precious blood shed for us on the cross of Calvary. Brought near to God by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are now brought into the same fold. My dear friends, as his sheep that belong to the other fold, let us be very, very grateful to these wonderful privileges that the Lord has given to us, because we are now a member of his sheepfold. Finally, let us see the power and the liberty of this good shepherd, verse 17 and verse 18. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. The Lord seemed to be saying to the scribes and Pharisees, I am about to die, and after that I'll rise again. My doing so, saying so, may sound very, very strange to you Pharisees. But this is the thing that pleases my Heavenly Father, for which he loved me, my dying on the cross, my being buried, and my rising again. This is the very thing that for which the Heavenly Father loves me. Then he made this very bold declaration in verses 17 and 18. He says, I lay down my life that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. I have the absolute power to lay down my life. I have the absolute power to take it up again. My dear friends, understand this truth. He was not a shepherd who sacrificed his life as a result of being torn up by wild animals. Nor was it a case of his inability to save himself when he went to the cross of Calvary and finally had to subject to the death of the cross. It wasn't that he didn't have the power to save himself. No, my dear friends, it was by his own power. By his own power that he laid down his life. And it is by his own power that he raised himself up from the dead. We who are the sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ, let us rest comforted and rest very, very assured in this great and wonderful truth. The shepherd we have is not a dead shepherd. He is alive today. As he raised himself up from the dead, my dear friends, so will he raise us up from the dead. One day when we die and when we enter into the grave, we won't be there forever, my dear friends. Someday we will be raised up. And the good shepherd answers the question that man has been asking since time immemorial. After death, what? Now you don't have to search farther for answers, my dear friends. The answer lies in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has the power to lay down his life and the power to take it up again. You who are his sheep, trust in him. On your deathbed someday, he will lead you through the valley of the shadow of death. And beyond that valley, he will lead you up to the highlands, and there you will be fellowshipping with him at his table forever and ever. Now the question for us is this. Are you his sheep? Are you his sheep? That's the question that we must answer. So why is he the good shepherd? Now he is the good shepherd because he laid down his life for his sheep. He's not a hireling who does his work as a job. No, my dear friends, he is the good shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep. So when we are looking for shepherds, when we are looking for leaders in the church, let us be sure that the people that we are voting into office, people whom we want to get into holy office in this church, let us be very, very sure that they do not have the hiring mentality. They are really people who show that they have qualities of being under shepherds of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the good shepherd is all-knowing. He knows all about us. He knows about our trials. He knows about our needs, our tribulations, our weaknesses. And he has a very, very special regard for us. We are constantly and constantly under his providential care. If you are his sheep, friends, today you will surely know him. You will know that this shepherd of yours is not only your savior, but he's also your friend. You will know him as being able and faithful. You will know that he's praying for you every day so that you might be kept in the most holy faith. And then you have this wonderful relationship with him. And this relationship is so intimate. It is like the relationship between God the Father and God the Son. And finally, this shepherd of ours has absolute power. Yes, he laid down his life. He had the power to lay down his life, and he had the power to take it up again. And he clearly demonstrated that. He indeed laid down his life, and he indeed took up his life. And as he had the power to raise himself up from the dead, my dear friends, he has the power to raise us up from the dead. One day, my dear friends, after we have passed away, buried in the earth, we don't have to remain in the grave forever. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will raise us up from the dead. As he had the power to raise himself up from the dead, so will he have the power to raise us up. The question is, are you his sheep? Friends, that's the most important question. He's the great and good shepherd. Is he your shepherd? Now, if he is not your shepherd and you are not his sheep yet, today, why don't you come and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Recognize that he died for you on the cross of Calvary. Come before him and ask him to come into your heart. Repent from your sins And if you are willing to repent and willing to turn to Him, willing to receive Him into your heart, straight away, He'll be your shepherd and you'll be His sheep. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your truth. Thank You for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is our loving shepherd, who gave His life for us on the cross of Calvary. Father, we thank You and praise You that He knows us. And we thank You that by Your grace, we have also been made to know Him. And Father, we recognize that we do not know Him well enough. That's why so very often we miss out on the great blessings that You have in store for us. Oh Lord, we pray that You will teach us so that we will get to know Him more and more every day by reading Your Word and by meditating on Your Word. And Father, we also want to pray today for those who do not know this shepherd as the shepherd yet and who do not know, who are not His sheep. We pray that they will come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, so that they will also be able to experience the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ, which power He demonstrated when He raised Himself up from the dead. Oh Lord, we pray that You will be with us today, strengthen us in the most holy faith, enable us to glorify Your holy name. In Jesus' blessed name we pray and give thanks. Amen.